Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We had a fabulous conversation with Krista Carroll just now, first hour, and we were asking the question, how does God want to use you to change the world? If you missed that program, get it on our website. The podcast is going to be up in just a moment, myfaithradio.com. Did you hear the words to our open song for second hour? There'll be days that I lose the battle. Grace says it doesn't matter. Because the cross has already won the war, I'm learning to live freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. Don't you love that? Well, this hour we're going to talk to an amazing man of God. So glad to get him back on the show. He was on a couple of years ago. Dr. David Anderson's going to talk to us about what it means not only to forgive someone who's hurt you, but to go to the next step and offer grace to them. And would you believe this? Last time we had him on, a listener had stumbled on the dial and started to listen, not a believer, but was very intrigued by the topic of forgiveness. And David was just so sensitive to her journey that he just started to ask her some questions, and she answered, and he just very gently asked, would you like to make a decision for Christ? And it was so sweet because it wasn't forced, it wasn't exploitive, it was just this organic, supernatural moment. And she just said yes, and he led her to the Lord. And we were all crying. I mean, I had to go on the mic after as I'm listening to this exchange. It was so powerful. I'll never forget that. And I know David's a busy guy. He's an author and a radio host himself. And so glad to have him back. Let me give him a formal introduction and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. David Anderson is a founder and senior pastor of Bridgeway Community Church in Maryland, a non-denominational multicultural church of over 2,000. He hosts Afternoons with Dr. David Anderson, a weekly program focusing on diversity and multiculturalism. His books include Gracism, which is the art of inclusion, and the book we're discussing today, I For Grace You. And you can find him on the web at andersonspeaks.com. David, welcome back to the program.
Susie, so good to be with you and Faith Radio Network. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing.
Oh, just an honor to have you back with us today. And we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And I know you're a man of the word. Is there either a life verse you can share with us or a verse that the Lord's just been speaking to you about these days?
I surely don't have a life verse because I'm living life and I'm always needing a different verse for a different season that I'm in. And I tell you right now, the verse that I'm on in this season, and believe it or not, some people have heard it so many times before, but it means a lot to me, and that is this one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Mm. And that is from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, 25, and 26. And just speaking blessing over people in a priestly way is something that I'm leaning into myself these days.
You know, when you give that blessing to someone else, it does something for your own soul, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, we're all royal priesthood. And when we stand in the gap and actually say positive, beautiful things to people, like the Lord's face shine upon you and his grace be on you, it not only is an extension of his love to them through you, but you feel it yourself as well, even as you're saying it.
So good. Well, let's start here, if you don't mind. Talk to us about forgiveness and what it is exactly. You sort of unpack it in the book, I For Grace You.
Well, you know, forgiveness is that first level where, you know, if somebody hurts you, then you are to forgive them. It's the first step to reconciliation. A lot of people don't realize that reconciliation can't happen without forgiveness. forgiveness only takes one. So I can forgive you whether you ask for it or not, whether you want it or not, or whether you even know you hurt me or not. I can forgive you. That takes one. But reconciliation takes two, right? Where two come together and agree. So it takes two to reconcile, but it only takes one to forgive. And that's why Jesus was able to say on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Mm. And what that means is, yeah, they know that they're beating me.
Yeah.
They know that they're killing me, but they don't know the impact of what they're doing and how long that impact will last. And so people hurt us. Sometimes they say or do things. They have no idea the impact that their actions or their words will have on us. And so if Jesus can forgive someone and people who have a long-lasting eternal impact, surely we can as well.
Oh, such a good word. In fact, you even go further to say forgiveness is to release people from retaliation and revenge, setting them free from the prison of our unforgiving heart and not holding against them what they did to us. And you also
Amen.
Say that it's both a choice and a process. And I'd love for you to unpack that idea, that, and I totally agree with you, that it's a choice and it's a process. Explain how that is.
Yeah, it's both. And so technically, forgiving means to send someone away or to release someone, right? And so how do I, some of us are thinking, yeah, I got a few people I'd like to send away. But it's really sending them away to the cross, sending judgment away to the cross. So instead of me retaliating and judging you, I'm sending you to the cross. I'm releasing you, and I'm going to let the Lord handle you. I'm letting go of my privilege or prerogative to have revenge on you or hold a grudge. So I'm going to let you go. So that's that first decision of saying, I'm letting you go. I'd love to wring your neck, but I'm not going to. I'm going to send you away to the cross. I'm going to send you away to Jesus. Vengeance is mine, say the Lord. I'll let him deal with you, but I'm going to let you go. So that's the first thing. It's a choice. But then it's a process because it keeps coming back to our mind every week, every month, every year, whatever it is that they did, or whenever we see them again, or whatever the lingering pain is, we think about it again. And so I don't say forgive and forget. I say forgive and remember. Remember that you forgave.
Wow.
Because it's a process. And so I forgave on this date. And then a month later, I get all mad again. I start thinking about it again. Hang on. I got to forgive and remember. I got to remember that I forgave them on that date back 30 days ago. And so I'm reaffirming that decision. And I'm going to have to do that 100 times into my future. And that's the process of healing. I forgive. I remember that I forgave. I forgive. I remember that I forgave as I continue to heal.
And the thing is, that process does change us in the process. I mean, it's not just this exhaustive process. Something happens in us when we show up again and again to say, I am serious about this. This is something the Lord has called me to. And I can't have my list on the cross and their list in my hand. This is a serious part of my Christian faith. I'm going to bring it back again and again. What happens in us when we are willing, instead of forgiving and forgetting and stuffing and having it come out sideways, but we're willing to forgive, remember, forgive again? What happens in the heart of a person who's willing to do that?
Well, when someone does that, a couple things are happening. They are probably getting closer to God. They're probably releasing healing in their own life, and they're probably uprooting roots of bitterness or preventing roots of bitterness to sink deep down into their soul. So it does help you. It's not the primary reason to forgive, in my opinion. It's a benefit of it, but we do it because the Lord tells us that we need to do that in order to stay in communion with him and with ourselves and with others. In other words, if I choose not to forgive, that is jamming me up personally, but it's also jamming me up spiritually because it's hard for me and God to connect when I'm holding a grudge in my heart over someone else.
So what was the inspiration behind this book, I for Grace You? There's a bunch of content we're going to dig into, but I meant to ask that to you first. Why'd you write this book?
Well, you know, I wrote the book because of the power of the verses that I was studying, that it's beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is really only the first level. It's very hard to do, but forgiveness is really the first level. And if you sort of read, and it's just a small book, but if you read Matthew, you know, Jesus will say something like, you know, if somebody hurt, you know, do unto others as you have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. Forgiveness is golden, but Jesus doesn't stop at the golden rule. If you read Matthew 6, he kicks it up to platinum. Mm. he says, okay, do unto others as you have them do unto you. You've heard that said before. That's the golden rule. Even other religions say that, basically. Jesus says, but I say to you, even those who hurt you, you know, I want you to love them. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. That's another level. That's called forgraceness. Forgiveness is letting them go. Forgraceness is actually being kind and extending grace to them, even though they don't deserve it. They didn't earn it. In fact, they earned the exact opposite, and they can't repay it. That's forgraceness. When you go from what's golden to what's platinum, where you say, even though they hurt me, I'm not only going to forgive them, I'm going to forgrace them, which is now I'm going to be kind to those who have hurt me. And when that concept came to me through the scriptures, I couldn't help but write it.
That is so good. In fact, you touched on this a moment ago, but I want to revisit because I think it's very key. We skip over it way too easily. You said before Jesus could reconcile with us, he had to forgive us. And we got to think about this for a minute, because it was Dr. Wiersbe who said, Jesus loves the whole world, but love doesn't save the world. Grace does. We're saved by grace through faith. He loves us, but grace is what saves us. And I think sometimes we'll receive that grace and we forget that, as you said, we were forgiven. Jesus had to forgive you. He had to forgive me. And I think that groundedness, that helps us offer forgiveness to others. Don't you think?
I do. I mean, the reality is that the one that's forgiven much loves much, as the scriptures say, but it's important for us to know that we even need God's grace to be the kind of forgivers and forgracers that he has called us to be. And as long as we're connected to grace, we're going to be okay. But when we are not connected to the grace of God, or when we forget how much he actually forgave us, you know, from the things he forgave us from, if we lose touch with that, we can become quite prideful and even feel justified in not forgiving others.
Makes me think about when the disciples ran to Jesus and they were telling him, you know, the demons are obeying, people are who are sick are made well. And he said, don't marvel that the demons obey you. Marvel that your name is written in the book of life. And when you stop and you think about that, that was his greatest miracle in our lives. It cost him the most to save us. And so the idea that what it cost him to save us, to remember that out of gratitude, I think, as you say, gets us more ready to forgive. And, boy, we're talking to Dr. David Anderson about the power of forgiveness, but even taking it a step further and doing good to those who've hurt you, offering grace. I know it's hard. Sometimes it feels like it'd be easier to cut off your arm than to forgive the person who's hurt you. Maybe you've got a question about that process. The phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. David Anderson in just a moment.
Working on the fruits of the Spirit, and your character can try to be improving and you can try to be good, but you always have that little edge and corner of bitterness back there. If you never forgive people, you'll always have that hanging on to you. And until you fully forgive and let it go, you can't work on fully having all the character qualities that you want.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need. This is why we need him every hour, and he's there for us every moment of every day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So glad to have Dr. David Anderson join me today to talk about his book, I For Grace You, Doing Good to Those Who've Hurt You. You know, this is a tough topic. It is painful at times to forgive, but it is a sacred exercise, and really it is essential if we want to enjoy the kind of fellowship with God that he invites us to and want him to use us, and we want to be the people he wants us to be. In fact, David writes, Jesus offers us, the life Jesus offers us is not free of pain, hurt, disappointment, and trial, but he does allow us to breathe in hope and exhale possibility. Jesus promises quality, eternal life, and deep spiritual meaning. And you know what? Those promises, nothing on earth compares to those things. David, you opened the book with a story about a woman named Margaret, and I know you wrote this a while ago. Do you remember that story?
The story about Margaret. Wow. You really read the book.
I love it when I'm being interviewed on Stuff I've Written, and it's been 5 years ago, and they're like, you know, on page 40 when you wrote that story, and I'm like, help me out here. I don't remember.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really about two sisters, and the story goes like this. A woman is in her 50s, is still very, very angry, and as she is reflecting on her childhood, she is reflecting on the fact that her younger sister cut her one of her fingers off, like about half of the finger off. It was by accident. It was a knife accident in the kitchen. Half of her fingers cut off, the tip of it, and she really grew up with 9 1/2 fingers, and she had always kind of held that against her sister, of course, living a life of 9 1/2 fingers as opposed to 10, and now she finds herself in a counselor's office when she's in her 50s and, you know, realizing that she's an angry person. The counselor asks, well, when are you going to forgive your sister? And she holds up her hand with the chopped off half finger, and she says, when the finger comes back. And the reality is, and her learning from that counselor is, there are some things that are not going to come back. You have to, you know, you have to live with the 9 1/2 fingers and move on and do the best you can in a world of 10-finger gloves. You can still do this, but there are some things that are not going to come back that you just have to mourn the loss. You can't make up. If you have a child that passes away, you can't have other children to try to make up for it. Or somebody says, well, that's okay, you can have another one. No, I have to mourn and grieve the loss of this one. Yes, I'm thankful I have 9 1/2 other fingers, but to hold somebody else grudgingly because you lost half your finger is, for this woman to lose five decades of her life, and now she finds herself in the middle of a counselor's office because she never forgave her sister.
And, you know, there are physical implications of unforgiveness. I'm pretty sure it gives you wrinkles, for one. But I think it's truly bad for your health, bad for your nervous system, bad for your relationships. It's just, we feel so entitled to our grudge, and we won't give up our right to see someone pay. But the cost of hanging on to that thing is greater than we can even know, isn't it?
It costs you more than you want to pay.
That's right.
And anger and bitterness and grudge, it will keep you longer than you want to stay. And so letting it go and letting them go also frees you. And oftentimes the people that you're maddest at, that you're holding a grudge over because of what they have done, aren't even thinking about you. So you're really the only one in pain. And so you ought to forgive them, but the ones you're forgiving half the time, they're living their life. They're not even thinking about it anymore. And you're gripping a steering wheel, you know, angry and upset while you're driving, and they're off in Tahiti somewhere making, you know, nice drinks for themselves.
Golly. Well, David, talk to that person who's like Margaret, who's so focused on the irreplaceable loss that they can't even imagine moving from forgiveness to forgraceness, and or unforgiveness to forgraceness. And I just know this, that when we rehash those losses and rehash the disappointments, we dig ourselves a deeper ditch. So that person who feels like they're listening to you going, I can't get there from here, what are some first steps that they could take?
I think you got to start with God. You've got to say, listen, God, I've cut off more than one of your fingers.
Yeah.
I have done just irreparable harm because of my sinful life, and receive forgiveness from him. And the one that's forgiven much loves much. And I can't love, and one of the greatest expressions of love is forgiveness and for graciousness. I can't do that if I'm not in touch with my need to be forgiven. And when I realize how much I've hurt and harmed God, as well as failed other people, that sense of judgment begins to wash away. So I think you start there. Then you move into, you know what, I have received some pain because of what someone has done to me, because of abuse or because of some kind of brokenness in me at the hands of someone else. That's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But you've got to remember, you can get through it. You can get beyond it with the help of God. Part of it is saying, I'm going to forgive that person. It doesn't mean they're not held accountable. Remember, it means that I'm letting them go and sending them away to the Lord and allowing the Lord to deal with them. And when we truly believe that the Lord is the greatest judge of all and that he knows how to balance the scales and that he knows how to handle anybody that's ever done anything to you wrong, when you come to that realization, then forgiveness seems to make a little bit more sense, because it's not like, okay, we're getting away with no justice whatsoever. No, you're sending them away to God, and you're going to let God be the one to have vengeance and to judge and to do what he wants to do. It becomes a faith issue at that point. And sometimes people don't actually realize how faith and forgiveness interconnect. I forgive by faith. You know, it's not just a choice. This process and this walk is won by faith. And Lord, I'm forgiving. I don't know how to do this, but by faith, I choose to do it. And that's when God empowers it.
And that is such a key point, David, to engage your faith and say, I'm doing this by faith. Because I think where we get stuck is our emotions. I don't feel very forgiven. I still want to conk them on the head, you know? But to say, I'm doing this by obedience, by faith, trusting God will give me what I need. And I think you even referenced Corrie Ten Boom in that story, coming face to face with one of the guards that just totally assaulted she and her sister in her prison camp. And he said, I've heard your message on grace. Would you forgive me? And she didn't want to forgive him initially. But by obedience, because of her love for the Lord, she extended her hand. And she said, as she took that action, like the Holy Spirit infused her arm with power. Like she took that first step and the Spirit was right there. Sometimes it's that, isn't it? Just taking that first step by faith and letting God supply what you need to do it.
Isn't that a beautiful thing that God actually honors our faith? You know, the scriptures say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And, you know, God is pleased by small acts of faith. We don't have to do really, really big things. But if we can just say, Lord, I want to forgive. I'm going to try to forgive. But I need to do it by faith. God actually honors that, and something is activated in the spiritual realm when we step out by faith. So I sure hope that, you know, your listeners, as well as you and me, and I got to live this out every day, and I don't always do it right, but I do know that when I am hurt, if I will let people go and then go beyond that and actually bless those who curse me, then there is a special grace and there is a special power of redemption in me and in them when I do that, which is wholly supernatural. And it is wholly supernatural to be kind and to bless those who are not kind to you and those that are cursing you.
And what you just said is so important, that when you take that step of obedience and you engage your faith, you count on God and his power to help you forgive. As David said, something activates in the spiritual atmosphere, because there's a spiritual battle. Scripture says our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? But the principalities and powers. And when you take your step and align yourself with God, you activate something. I'm going to have David unpack that a little bit more. Phone lines are open. If you've got a question on how to forgive, how do I get there from here, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I see some emails coming in. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. More with David Anderson in a moment.
Yeah. I think of forgiveness, I think about Christ forgiving my sins. And how dare I not forgive someone else when Christ went through what he went through for me. And the other issue is that a lot of times the person that is holding the grudge and not forgiving is the person that is really hurting in the long run.
So true, Val. Thanks for tuning in. This is such a tough topic because I know what it's like. You know, we hurt people and we're hurt by people. And sometimes people keep reoffending. And then what do you do? Debbie's calling in from Stillwater, and she's got a question similar to that for you today, David. Debbie, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Susie. How are you?
Thank good.
You for having me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fascinating topic, and I'm all about forgiveness. This one for me, though, is very, very difficult. I have an adult daughter in her mid-30s who continues to just be so angry with me and never is kind. She's quite disrespectful. And what's even more difficult is she has children that I love to be a part of their lives. I'm not included anywhere near what I think I should be. And to add to the end of it, she lives far away. So it really makes it difficult to have this relationship that I want with her. And I love her. She's my daughter. I'd do anything for her. But at the same time, it's coming to a point where it's so difficult for me to even reach out to her because every time I do, there's something that I do wrong. Mm. And I'm just trying to place, you know, how to put this in my life because it's so incredibly painful. I want so much to be a part of her life and her family, but she's just, you know, kind of just not a person that is hard to deal with. She's just very difficult.
Debbie, hang on there because David might have some questions for you. But David, did you have any thoughts you wanted to share with her?
Well, I wanted to know, was there an initial, and hi, Debbie, was there an initial act that caused a breach between you and your daughter?
It's interesting you asked that question. There was many, many, many years ago when she was about 17. And we have talked about it, and I have asked her, you know, are we over this? Is this done? What else do you want to talk about? Do you want me to fill in any other blanks that you have or, you know, whatever? And she has said that that's the past, but I've never believed that to this day. I think that it was really a divider for us. And unfortunately, it was at a critical time where she was graduating from school and going on to college. And I was kept at bay for a while, and then finally I was, you know, brought back into her life. And, you know, I've been a part of her life. I've done everything I can to be involved with every major event. But then when I am a part of it, it's always at her will and in her way.
On her terms.
I'm very restricted. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm very restricted. And it's just such an incredibly painful place to be put is how it feels.
I'm so sorry, David. What do you say, David?
Did you have any counseling with her over this particular issue?
No.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, she may have said that she forgave you and bygones are bygones, but again, forgiveness is both a choice and a process. There's something that you did to hurt her or that she felt hurt about in whatever the situation was. It's very possible that that breach was the breaking point at a very vulnerable age when she's leaving the house anyway. So she may have had in her mind, I'm out of here and I'm done. All right, she may have had that in her mind when she left and may have always made covenant with that decision. And now she's just tolerating the possibility that every now and then we may get together, but really I don't want a relationship with her anymore because of that. It's very possible that that's where the breach happened and it stayed that way and never got bridged properly. And maybe she made a decision to forgive you, but maybe she doesn't know forgiveness is a process and you got to work on it and all this other stuff. She may have just said, you know what, whatever, what happened, happened. I'm now an adult. I'm living a different life, and we'll just kind of tolerate the relationship.
So what would be her next steps then, David, for Debbie? Because she can't force her daughter, but maybe is there a way she can build a bridge to say, can we revisit this? This doesn't feel like it's resolved, you know?
Now remember, Debbie, that forgiveness takes one, but reconciliation takes two. So you can do your part to build a bridge from your side of the divide, but she has to do her part. And until she's ready emotionally to do her part, until she's ready spiritually or whatever to do her part, you don't want to smother her, and you don't want to always initiate to the point that she feels like she always has to repel. And you always play an offense, she's always got to play defense. So part of your strategy now needs to be to play some defense. And you can't play defense if she's not playing offense. So what you have to do is pray that, you know, you're going to have a new posture of, you know what, if she doesn't want to deal with me, or if she doesn't want to have this kind of mother-daughter relationship that I desire, then I'm going to respect that and I'm going to honor that. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have pain. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be grieving, but you're grieving now anyway. And so you don't want to grieve and still be a nuisance to her. And I'm not saying you are a nuisance, but in her mind, you could be. Who knows? And so part of it now is you're going to say, you know what, if this is how you want it, that's fine. I'm going to respect that, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to be prayerful, and I'm going to mourn. Then what's going to happen as you're praying, because you're praying that God would do something, she's going to come knocking on your door. And when she comes knocking on your door, that's when you need to be ready to respond in a way that the Holy Spirit wants you to respond in at that time.
I love that.
Is this helpful?
Debbie, I think she's on hold. Do you hear? Is she there?
I'm here. David, I guess one follow-up question, if I may, really quickly. Mm-hmm. So in that process, do I stop putting myself in the position of this teen, which is like, I'll text her once in a while. Are you free? Would you like to talk? And, you know, it's never that moment. It's always later on. It hurt her, but it's really short and curt and brief. So do I just stop reaching out then? And
in this season...
It really is.
In this season, if I were you, and I'm not you, and so you got to take this to the Lord, I might do one final reach out, but make it one that says, hey, listen, I've tried to reach out, and maybe you're really too busy right now or whatever, and I'm going to like try to stop bugging you on this one, and you come to me when you're ready, and leave it like that. Why? Because by continually texting her, she's continually on defense and you're on offense. And I'm telling you, what happens is people get tired and they get bugged for whatever reason, whether it's right or not. And what happens is you're getting yourself hurt every single time she doesn't respond in the way you want her to respond. So I think it's time for a new game here. It's time for a new strategy. And the new strategy is, okay, I'm forgiving her. I'm respecting her wishes. I'm not going to bug her anymore. And I know it's going to hurt, but guess what? It hurts now anyway.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. Debbie, as I know David would agree with this, I would do exactly as he's saying and say, I want you to know I love you. I always will. I get the sense you're not ready to connect on this level, so I'm just going to release you, bless you, know that I'll be praying for you. And then do pray your guts out. Pray for her, but pray for yourself too, because you've got a broken mama's heart. And as David's saying, you want your heart ready for when you want to keep the light on in your heart. So when she comes home, you're ready. In fact, if we could transfer over to Joseph, because you talk about Joseph and he's such a good example. You say, the art of redemptive forgiveness transforms us from being the victim of another's negative actions, which Debbie's talking about here, to becoming a vessel of grace through whom God channels his higher purposes. And you say, you know, Joseph is such a great example because if he could focus, and if I were Debbie, I'd be brokenhearted and want to focus on it too. But I know, with all my heart at least, I believe that Joseph nurtured and cared for his heart. So when the day came to face his brothers, he could be as winsome and loving as he actually was. So talk about Joseph.
I tell you what, Joseph is a great example, and I wish that I could live like this dude. I mean, my goodness.
He's a rock star.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right. They treated him so badly, and yet he honored God, and as a result, he was in a power position, and then he used that power to be a vessel of God's grace. I mean, what better example you have besides Jesus on that one? But I would say, listen, he was hurt by family members as well. May not be the same family dynamic as a daughter and a mother, but but he did have brothers, and he did have a father situation, you know, as a son and all. And, you know, we all have different family dynamics. Joseph decided that he wasn't going to have revenge on his brothers, but that he was going to allow the grace of God that had so lifted him up that he would now be a forgracer. But again, notice what he did. He had already forgiven his brothers. He had already continued to allow God to work in him. So then when the time came, he was ready to respond. And when he responded, he could have crushed them, but he didn't crush them. In fact, he was just glad to come back in unity with him again. And my guess for my dear sister, Deborah, and Debbie, she is also one day going to have a moment where when her daughter comes back, she's going to be ready to receive her.
Thank you, Debbie, for that call, and David, for just ministering to her. Another listener writes a similar situation, but okay, I'll just read it. It says, how do I go about forgiving someone who continues to hurt me and hurt the family over and over? I've been married to an alcoholic man for many years, and continual forgiveness is so hard. Oh, bless your heart. That's a different situation, because with Debbie, she can pull back and nurture her heart. But when you live in that scenario, what do you do?
Well, you know, you're in a different situation when you're living in it, and you can't get out of it, but you can get out of it by getting help from the outside. There's some things that you can't do on your own, and the best thing that can happen is for a person who is married to an alcoholic is to force that alcoholic to make a choice. And that choice is, you get me, or you get help. Mm. You know, if you do not get help, you don't get me. If you do get help, I'm with you all the way. They need that line in order to hit rock bottom, or close to rock bottom. And that's the kind of love that is sometimes very, very difficult. But whoever wrote this email in to you, Susie, has to understand that the alcoholic is not going to change unless something changes.
Very good. Talking to Dr. David Anderson today, we just have a short break, and so the phone lines are open probably for another 8 minutes or so, so we'd sure love to stand with you. Maybe you've got a question for David about the process of forgiveness. It's essential if you want to have a healthy, thriving walk of faith. All right, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Forgiveness is an important thing to practice because it reminds me that God has forgiven me. And so when I have something that I feel like I can't forgive somebody else for, it reminds me that God has overlooked my deepest and darkest. And so I need to pass the gift of forgiveness on to others.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. He gives us joy. Maybe you're in that place where you can't even imagine getting past the offense. He gives you joy. He turns your mourning into dancing. Can you picture that? Can you look past this thicket field, this barren land that you thought would turn out a different way? And can you see a promised land? Can you see a place of joy, a time of smiling again? God is the one who does that. And we can trust him. And you take the next step, and then you take the next step. We're talking about forgiveness, and it's the same thing. It's taking the next faith step. And I love what David said, that forgiveness is an act of faith. Have you ever thought about it that way before? And I'd love to hear from you. We've got, as I said, a few minutes left to take some calls about the issue of forgiveness. David is also a pastor. You can tell by the way he's answering the caller questions. He is just a shepherd at heart. 877-933-2484. Athena is calling in from Duluth, Minnesota, and has a question for you today. David, Athena, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a friend I'm going to see right now who's like at the end of her ropes, and she's where she's going to try to commit suicide again, and I don't really know what to say to her. I liked what you just said right before the program just come back on. I don't know.
What do you say?
So, Athena, you said you're going to be with a friend who wants to commit suicide. Is that what I heard?
Right.
Yeah, I would, first of all, if you could, if this is something you sense and she really wants to do, and I think that Susie would agree here, she needs to go to the hospital.
Amen.
That's what you say. You say, let's have this conversation on our way to the hospital. Let's just make sure everything's okay physically with you, and I'll be praying spiritually with you, and we can talk on our way. But if you're serious about killing yourself, I think we need to go to the hospital. That's
okay.
The first thing I would say. If she pushes back and says, well, you know what, I'm not ready, like, I just feel like I want to kill myself, but it's not something I really want to do or whatever, you know, then you can have another conversation. But hospital, number one.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Got a few more calls coming in. You know, going back to the story of Margaret that you opened the book with, and for those who just tuned in, the story of Margaret, she has 9.5 fingers when she was a young girl. There was a kitchen accident by her sister, cut off half of her finger, and she was bitter for many, many years into her 50s to the point where she'd alienated everybody in her life because of the hatred. And she went through counseling, and, you know, she said, I can't get over it because I have to constantly look at this scar, this missing finger. And you wrote that sometimes our scars can serve as a constant reminder of how we've been wrong, but we can actually turn that around and remember that what we've endured, it can actually make us grateful and make us strong. And so talk to that person who maybe has this constant reminder of a wrong done to them. They can't get away from it. But you say that can turn into a trophy of grace. It can actually be something that proves their strength and their grace.
So true, right? So when you have somebody that hurts you, one of the sweet revenges is, if I could use that term, is actually using that to propel you. You know, and so instead of punishing yourself or punishing the other person, use that to propel you into the purpose that God has for you. God wasn't surprised on the day it happened to you. In fact, he allowed it for whatever reason, you know, not quite sure, but he did. And so to know that that's a part of your story, a part of your history, how do you use that injury, whatever it may be, for God's glory, but also to propel you toward the purpose that he has for your life? And the trophy of God's grace is that I endured this and I got through this, and this didn't keep me down, and God can still use me, and he can even use it, whatever that it is in your life, he can actually use it for his glory and for your purpose.
So good. 877-933-2484. We've got Cheryl calling in from St. Paul with a question for you today. Cheryl, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Hi. So you choose to forgive, and you continue to say, I choose to forgive, and I make that deliberate choice, but then, you know, all these feelings of like anger or resentment continue to bubble and boil. How do you get through that and to eliminate that so you really are forgiving and not harboring resentment?
Well, if I understand your question, you're saying that even after you forgive, you still feel these negative feelings of anger and such. Is that correct?
Correct.
And how do you deal with that? Well, you know, I think it's a myth to think that if I forgive, then the negative feelings will go away with the forgiveness. It's actually not the case. If I forgive, now I still have to go through the process and the energy of letting it go and living out that decision. And I have a memory, and I have a TV show that I watch that makes me think about it, or whatever it may be. And so how do I deal with those negative feelings? I deal with them by taking them to the Lord and not allowing them to control me. Because negative feelings are trying to control you over the positive ones. And
right.
It's almost like a battle between the negative ones and the positive ones. So what you have to do when negative feelings come up is you have to battle them with positive feelings or positive thoughts. So you got to say, you know what, I could be angry right now, but I'm not going to be angry, and I'm going to choose to focus on something else. And I'm not saying that that's always easy, but I'm saying when you power yourself down, you know, count yourself down. If something rushes to you, you're in a grocery store and you see somebody that, you know, hurt you or your kid, all right, and you already forgave them, but you see them in a grocery store, you immediately are going to have a physical and emotional reaction.
Right.
In that moment, what you need to do is count yourself down, take a deep breath, walk away from the situation, and begin to say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this negative emotion to control me. Let me go sit in my car for a few minutes until that person passes. And now let me say a prayer. And God, you told me if I give my anxieties over to you, then you're going to give me peace. I need your peace right now because I want to kill that person. I mean, you can be honest with God like that. He's not surprised you were thinking it anyway, okay? So you can be honest with him like that and just let it all out. Scream if you need to scream. Let it all out right there in the car. And then you counted yourself down. You talked to the Lord. You called on his peace to come in instead of the anxiety. Now get on out your car, get back in the grocery store, and handle your business.
I love David Anderson. I'm just saying. Handle your business after you did all that other stuff, he said. But, you know, Cheryl, thanks for your call. Appreciate that. And you're so right. You run into things that just sort of stir you up. But another factor is where we let our minds go rogue. And that's something we can do something about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, taking captive these thoughts so that they are not running rogue is important. But it's hard to say I'm not going to think something without replacing it, right? So I think replacing those thoughts with other thoughts is what's helpful. Or just get yourself busy. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, my house gets clean. Cleanest. Guess when my house gets cleanest, Susie?
When you're mad.
That's right. When my wife is mad,
cleans. Oh, I was picturing you cleaning, but no, I did the same thing.
No, that is the wrong picture.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
You know, when my house gets clean, it's because my wife is mad. Now, I clean because she's asked me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, will you sweep the floor? Will you take out the trash? I do that just out of obedience. But if I walk in the house and it's like squeaky clean,
you're in trouble.
I'm like, oh no, what did I do, right? So we all have energy that comes with negative emotions. How do you channel that energy and get it out of you is absolutely critical.
It is. You know, for me, exercise. I do clean if I'm pretty frustrated, but I actually would default to exercise because your emotions can go on overkill. And you work that out, and you, like you say, that's how I count myself down, so to speak, and it really does level out my heart rate, and it helps me think clearly. And those are healthy things to do, just to not make a big decision in the midst of your anger. And boy, this has just been so powerful. I have so many other questions for you, and we can't get to them because we're wrapping up here. But I'm wondering if you would mind praying for that person who feels stuck, maybe because they live with someone that they have to constantly forgive, and they want everything God has for them, but they can't figure out how to get through this because the offense is re-injured again and again. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, right now I lift up everyone under the sound of my voice and pray that your peace would be upon them, that your smile would be over them, and that your grace would give them everything they need for life and godliness, especially when they're stuck in some situation that they just can't seem to get out of. Would your forgiveness flow in them, to them, and then through them to other people and empower them to live by the power of your Spirit, even in difficult times? For it is in the name of Jesus, I pray. We pray. Amen.
David Anderson, you are a dear brother, and I thank you. I know you're a busy man. We just thank you for your time today.
The joy is all mine, Susie. Blessings to you and your staff.
And to you. Hope you'll come back again.
Absolutely.
Glad you tuned in. I hope you found some encouragement here today. Don't stay stuck. There are new mercies waiting for you every morning. God has great things for you, okay? Don't stay stuck. So glad you tuned in. I am Susie Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of today's program on our mobile-friendly website at myfaithradio.com. Here it is. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.